Good morning.
Good morning.
Mayor Geddes, Sheriff Breeden, I saw you, Chief Watts, elected officials, fellow Kiwanians, ladies and gentlemen, and my mother. When I got the call about speaking today, I thought they had the wrong number. Because if you've been to a Kiwanis Mayor's Prayer Breakfast, one thing that always stands out is that the person who's the keynote speaker typically has athletic prowess, has an athletic record, and is somebody of note in the sports field. Well, let me tell you, you could have not picked a person that was farther from that, I guess I'll call it notation. Now, I'm not saying that I was the last kid picked when teams were picked in school, but I was in proximity of it. So as I think about today and I think about this city, if I had to title my conversation with you, it would be a sense of gratitude. You know, we can't choose where we're born. We can only choose what we do afterward. And I thought of my life growing up here. And when I had my fellow classmates say, I can't wait to graduate high school to leave Rock Hill. And while I kept silent, I thought, I don't want to go anywhere. I love this place. And it was on an eighth grade trip. We call it social studies back then. I don't know what you call it today, Dr. Elder. But we went to Columbia. That was the first time I'd ever been to the Capitol. I was 13 years old. And we toured the Capitol. And I had the opportunity to see the Senate in action, or maybe in action, and the House in action. And it hit me that that's what I wanted to do one day. 13 years later, I was there. Now, I skipped a big spot in there. But I think one of the things that shaped me in this town was the fact that I had an Evening Herald paper route. And on my Evening Herald paper route, I had the downtown route. I had Oakland Avenue. I had Winthrop College at the time. All the businesses downtown, Sarah. And it was amazing because I got to see firsthand business people in action on Main Street, the homes that surrounded that. And if you ever want to know how people really are, deliver their paper and then have to come back and collect. It will teach you many, many valuable lessons in life. So I decided upon graduation of Winthrop College, I was the last graduating class of Winthrop College, it became university the next year, that I wanted to run for office. And so I decided to embark on this. Now people said, hey, you're too young, you got no experience, you have no money, and you're a Republican, you're never gonna win. Well, they were right, I lost. But I didn't give up hope and I was not deterred. So I came back the following year, I ran, won. Little did I know that 30 years later, I would still be in Columbia. But life has a strange way of giving us gifts that sometimes we ask for and sometimes that we didn't. But when I got to Columbia as a young person, I had been through a partisan race. I got to Columbia and the partisan atmosphere was rising. This was in the early 90s. At the time, the House, out of 124 people, 81 were Democrat, 43 were Republican, so the Republicans were in the minority. And I remember being at a meeting, and someone said, we need to make a point. And I thought, well, what's the point going to be? And it hit me that maybe James Pettigrew, who infamously said back in the 1800s, was right. He said, South Carolina, too small to be a republic, too large to be an insane asylum. And I thought, you know, what have I gotten myself into? But I realized that we had an opportunity to make a difference, not just a point, and that everyone in that room, all 124, whether they had different party labels or genders, they all loved South Carolina and wanted to see South Carolina better than it had been and as good as it possibly could be. And so I started looking through other people's lenses in order to be effective for my district. And I realized, we use this word a lot, compromise, but I realized the better C word is consensus. And in order to build consensus, you have to establish trust. In order to establish trust, you have to foster relationships. So no matter what dynamic we're in, whether it's politics, whether it's the community, whether it's law enforcement, whether it's your family, all of those traits become part of who we need to be in order to use the Scout motto, to leave it better than we found it. I think about our state motto, doom spiro spero, while I breathe, I hope. Does anybody know what the bottom part of it says? Animus opibusque parati, prepared in mind and resources. Sometimes that is interpreted as in heart and deed. And when I think about heart and deed, I think about this community, Mayor Geddes. You know, oftentimes, if you've ever tried, Scott Reister, I saw him here earlier, if you ever try to grow grass and there's a big tree next to it, the big tree does two things to thwart your effort. One, it shades the sun so the grass can't grow. And the other thing it does, and you don't even see this happening, it sucks the nutrients out of the ground. Well, I was thinking Rock Hill, right on the edge of a big tree called Charlotte. What does that mean for our community? Well, you can be a bedroom community, perhaps, but you're under that shadow. Well, let me tell you, Rock Hill made sure they weren't under any shadow. South Carolina is known, you may remember this in the late 80s when it started, but South Carolina landed BMW manufacturing. It was a big coup. Today we have Volvo, Scout is coming here. But guess what? We were way ahead of them. We had the Anderson Car Company right here in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Now, for those of you who are old enough, and most of you aren't, but do you remember the dimmer switch that was on the floor to brighten and dim your lights? Do you know that's a Rock Hill invention? Anderson Motor Company. So I was thinking of that, and I went to Winthrop University. So in the early 1890s, here was a university that was in Columbia, a university for women, that wanted to move. Laws had been passed to allow this, and so different communities bid on who would get Winthrop University. Well, Rock Hill bid on getting Winthrop University, except they didn't get it. They lost, just like my first race. But undeterred they were. When Anderson received the bid, they couldn't fulfill it. Rock Hill was back in the running. Rock Hill made sure, through leadership in this town, through the city council in this town, that we were not going to lose that. So bonds were readied, bricks were donated, and the property that was Oakland Park is now Winthrop University. That's resilience, and that's progressivism. Because at that time, this was a university for women. Women couldn't vote when this university came to this town. It tells you something of who we are as a community. Then I think about the Coliseum that's on Eden Terrace, way ahead of its time in the early 80s, almost 7,000 seats in this Coliseum. Well, they ran into a big problem in the Coliseum. While they were building it, I don't know if you know the name, the first word in the name of this town, but it's Rock. Well, there's a reason that Rock is in the name of Rock Hill. They ran into Rock, and in 1982, it was a $2 million shortfall to build the Coliseum. Guess what Winthrop didn't have? $2 million. You know what I mean, Nikita? So what they did was sold the land that is now Cherry Park. Yes, that was Winthrop's land. They sold it for $2 million. City of Rock Hill purchased this property and got Winthrop out of a bind with the Coliseum. The Coliseum was finished, and now you've got this land owned by the city. Now, I'll remind you, during this time, interest rates on homes were in the double digits. It was not the best time for the economy, but we never gave up hope in what that would be. So the idea comes for Cherry Park. I saw former Mayor Eccles in here, and former Mayor Eccles took the lead on Cherry Park, along with Betty Jo Ray, of making it a hallmark for this community. Well, the community wasn't so happy with Mayor Eccles. He was Representative Eccles at the time, and we call him politics. He got redshirted. He got sent home. He lost the election over Cherry Park. And I often think of a Henry Wadsworth Longfellow quote, "Never deem the past as wholly wasted or wholly vain if rising upon its wrecks at last to something nobler we attain." And Cherry Park today, what would we be without it? And I can say Mayor Eccles was exonerated. He served as mayor for 20 years. So sometimes you have to go out a little, make things, even maybe when they're not as popular, but stand by the conviction of what it could be. Because what came from that was destination sports tourism. The PRT department, I know I've seen them in here. Great work for what you do for this community. Those are the little tidbits of things historically in this town that have made us a better place. We're on a map, not just in the United States, but in the world. And then I think of Miracle Park. Here is another opportunity where the city and the university and the community come together to make something that is absolutely a treasure, not just in this community, but everywhere else. And other communities want to emulate exactly what we have done here. So thanks to Warren Norman, David Williams, Gary Williams, all those that were involved, hundreds of people involved in making Miracle Park a reality. And then I think about other leaders. Now, if I started naming, Coach Johnson taught me at one time, you may not admit it, but I will now. I was thinking of Fred Faircloth. 120 years in this community, and do you realize he's the third person to lead Rock Hill Coca-Cola Bottling? That's the average of a 40-year tenure apiece. That is remarkable. I think about Sam Foster, the first African-American principal in a fully integrated school, not in York County, in South Carolina, Northwestern High School. Dr. Thomas Crawford. Crawford Building is named after him. He was a physician. It was the infirmary that was named in his honor. He was a physician who traveled, who brought back the idea of macadamizing a road, taking tar and making it useful 12 months out of the year, which led Rock Hill to become what we call the cotton factory that you see today. It allowed us to store cotton. So the first macadamized road in Rock Hill is actually Crawford Road, coming in from McConnellsville and Guthriesville, bringing cotton into Rock Hill, which created the opportunity for us here. I think about Joe Lanford, former city manager, who came here in the mid-60s and created for us to be an all-American city. The rest is history. Gary, I mentioned you with the cotton factory, to make what was old new again, to revitalize who we are as a community. And I can't leave out Betty Jo Ray. I know I mentioned her just a moment ago, but she would always say, Rock Hill should strive to be better than it has to be. And she did it. She was an ambassador for this community like no other. And then finally, John Harden, who served as mayor, probably one of the most colorful mayors. While Betty Jo had a great scarf, he had a great coat. And everywhere he would go, he would light up a room. He was absolutely amazing to watch. He was a master of all ceremonies. But he had a famous quote that I loved, and I use it to this day. And he would always say, "Isn't it grand?" Ladies and gentlemen, we live in the best community, in the best county, in the best state, in the best country in the world, period. Thank you for making Rock Hill who it is. And I look forward in my old age now, Judge Guyton, to see what you do with it next. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.